the New Testament church praying together. The power of the New Testament church praying together. You know, Jesus said, I'll start in a minute, but Jesus said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Amen. Not a house of prayer. He said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. I don't know how many churches really pray, but this church was founded on prayer. Pastor's mom was a great prayer warrior. I was so thankful that I got here in time to meet her and to receive from the anointing that was on her life. She was quite a special lady. And she started praying. Pastor is a product of a praying mother and family. And this church is a product of prayer. As a matter of fact, I believe the 125,000 souls that have prayed the prayer of salvation since September 20th of 2012, I believe those souls are a product of the prayers of this church that we have been praying for, lo, these many years, 55 years. Amen. We ought to give God praise for that, because God hears and answers prayer. God hears and answers prayer. I arrived at this church in 1985, and shortly after that, we started early morning prayer. Well, actually, they had early morning prayer long before that, but a different rhythm of early morning prayer. And the early morning prayer that we started then, it was about 86, 87, something like that, was we prayed from 5, I believe it was from 5 a.m. till 8 a.m. And it was like, come when you can, leave when you must. And if you can't come 5 days a week, it was 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. Can't come 5, come 4. Can't come 4, come 3. Can't come 3, come 2. Can't come 2, come 1. Can't come 1, shame on you. It was powerful times of prayer. As a matter of fact, during those times that God gave me the plan, you know, God will give you plans in prayer. God will give you plans in prayer. He'll speak to you and give you plans. You know, he spoke to Joseph and he gave him a food management plan and he saved the whole world. You know, he said, you're going to have 7 years of famine, but then you're going to have, or of good, but then you're going to have 7 years of famine. Well, God gave Lori and me a plan to get out of debt during that time. During that, come when you can, leave when you must, 5 to 8 a.m. We didn't usually stay all 3 hours 5 days a week. Sometimes we'd stay an hour, what have you, because Lori was teaching and had to be there around 7:30, and I had to be in Arlington at whenever it was. So, but we would walk these aisles, and God gave us that plan. He said, if you'll do some practical things, like not spend all your money going out to eat when you don't have any money, and if you'll quit going on expensive vacations and living like you have a lot of money, then I'll help you. He said, just start speaking the word. Just start watering your seed. Start speaking the word over your giving. And write your giving down. So God gave us that plan in prayer. So we wrote down every time we tithed. And then every time we gave an offering over and above our tithes. And we wrote down every time we gave a missions offering, which was usually the first Sunday of the month. And we would pray scriptures over that offering. And lo and behold, it wasn't but a couple of years, and God supernaturally brought us out of a supernatural debt, and God paid every penny of it. It was like, do I need to go back to school? Do I need to Do I need to go to a specialized school because I was in real estate? Do I need to do all these things? And he said, no, just put me first. Put me first in your finances. And that's all we did. And boy, it confounded people. I mean, it made a couple of people that I talked to mad. One guy took me out one time. This was in the mid to late 80s when the economy was tanking. And people in my profession, there were very few people making a lot of money, even here in the DFW Metroplex. And one guy took me out who had a great job. He represented Kroger. And so he was set, but as long as he kept his nose clean, which he did. But he said, now, how did you all of a sudden start making money? And I said, I just started putting God first and tithing and giving offerings. And I knew that. I knew that's what you were going to say. You know, I mean, I don't know what, I didn't know, what does he want? Well, I went to Trammell Crow's School of Business or School of Real Estate. You know, all we did was start putting God first and start speaking the word of God over our finances. God brought us out. So prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. And then after that rhythm of prayer, then we had Acts 5:42 prayer, daily in the temple. They cease not to pray. And so we started praying from 5:42 to, when was it, 6:42 or 7? And in that one, we had praise and worship, and we had prayer that was led. And so we had prayer leaders that would come in and lead that prayer. And that was effective too. And then the power tower. And for how many years? 20 years praying 24-hour, people coming to this church building praying 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God hears and answers prayer. We saw amazing miracles happening all over the world. All over the world, people would call in, fax in, email in. It's amazing. God hears and answers prayer. So the other day, I'm starting now. I heard Pastor say this. I don't remember what we were doing. I think I was driving to church, and I was on the phone to him, and he said, Charlie, everything we need to do, we can achieve through prayer. Amen. That's what he said. And that's the title of my message. Everything we need to do, we can achieve through prayer. And this is number two. Because I gave number one the other night, well, several weeks ago on a Wednesday night. Everything we need to do, we can achieve through prayer. And you can just go ahead and personalize that for yourself and your family, your marriage, your children, your situation, your business. Everything you need to do, you can achieve through prayer. Amen. Then Pastor said, after he told me that, he said, we need to pray all kinds of prayer, not just one kind of prayer, two kinds of prayer. You know, there's all kinds of prayer in the Bible. There's different kinds of prayer in the Bible. So that got my attention, and I knew by the Holy Ghost my marching orders were to pray, to study on prayer, and to minister on prayer. I knew that's what God was speaking to me about. And the Bible does instruct us to pray all kinds of prayer. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all kinds of prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So, praying always with all kinds of prayer. And we looked just briefly at the other night on a Wednesday night at different kinds of prayer. There's prayer of faith, prayer of consecration and dedication, prayer of commitment, prayer of praise and worship, prayer of agreement, intercessory prayer, united prayer, corporate prayer. There's great power in united prayer, corporate prayer. Prayer is the most powerful, the most challenging, and the most rewarding experience available to us, ladies and gentlemen. Prayer is the most powerful, the most challenging, and the most rewarding experience available to us as believers. Why? Because prayer is literal contact with the eternal God. It's contact with the Creator. It's the creation, us, in contact with the Creator, Almighty God. Hallelujah. And effective prayer is prayer that produces fruit from that contact. Let me say that again. Effective prayer is prayer that produces fruit from that contact. Hallelujah. In our lives, as well as in the world in which we live, it's been well said that prayer changes things, but the first thing that prayer changes, ladies and gentlemen, is us. Is us. And I've heard that before, and I used to think, now how does it change us? How does it change us? And I always thought about prayer as just laundry list. Going to God and asking Him for certain things just as a laundry list of things. God, I need this, I need that, you know, I need favor, I need this, I need that. But that's really not the kind of prayer I'm talking about. Thanks to the finished work of Christ on the cross, all of us as believers have the opportunity to enter God's presence. God is always knocking on our hearts. And we talked about this the other night. God is always knocking on our heart's door with a divine invitation to come and fellowship with Him. He wants to fellowship with us. Amazing, the Creator. I mean, scientists, they just say, well, there's a black hole way out there, a trillion years away. If we sent out a satellite, it'd be a trillion years from now before you even reach that hole. I mean, we're talking about the Creator of all this. Hallelujah. But He is always knocking on our heart's door. Listen to this scripture. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and sup with him and he with me. You know, I've always heard that scripture used as a sinner coming to God, and Jesus is out there knocking on a sinner's heart's door saying, open the door and I'll come in and you'll be saved. But that's not really the context of that scripture. That scripture was written to the church at Laodicea. It was written to believers. And Jesus is sitting there knocking on the believer's heart's door. Believer. Why would Jesus knock on our heart's door as a believer? Because He knew we would get distracted with all the things that the world has. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And Jesus is sitting there knocking on our heart's doors as believers, saying, open the door and let's fellowship. Open the door and let me show you things that you don't even know. Open the door, come spend time with me, and let me show you how strong I really am. Somebody give Jesus a shout. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we talked about that. We talked about why it matters that we pray. Why should it matter that we pray to God? It matters because we matter to God. He loves us. He wants to spend time with us. He wants to fellowship with us. We are the crown of His creation, ladies and gentlemen. We're it. It's not the mountains. It's not the seas. He loves us. Out of all of creation, we are the pinnacle. We're the top. We're the crown. He loves us above and beyond anything and everything He created. We're it, and He wants to talk to us. He wants to fellowship with us. Wow. Hallelujah. God created the world, the universe, with us in mind. He didn't create the world and the universe and just decide, oh, no, we're the crown of his creation. He loves us. We're his most treasured gift. And our most treasured gift to him is love. Remember Jesus? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So prayer is the primary way that we show our love to God. Prayer is the primary way that we express our love to God. And prayer is the primary way that we grow in that love relationship. That's why it's so important to pray. Prayer is not a laundry list. Gimme, 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 my name is Jimmy. That's prayer is not that. People try to fill their hearts with so many things, but only God can fill our heart because God's the one that made it. So we started looking at four benefits of prayer. We didn't get very far. We got number one, prayer, we said, is the pathway to God's presence. We talked about many people know a lot about God, but rarely experience his presence in their lives. And growing in prayer is not just about mechanics and methods. The focus of prayer is not prayer. I knew that would get a big round. The focus of prayer is not prayer. The focus of prayer is God. We're to focus on God when we pray. It's not about prayer. It's not just going through the motions. Brother Lawrence, back in the 1700s, said, as we pray, we can become increasingly aware of his presence and his gentle leading in all the circumstances of living. He wrote a really cool little book called Practicing the Presence of God. If you don't have it, we should have it in the bookstore. And if not, Teresa, let me know and we'll get some. But it's an awesome thing, practicing the presence of God. Hallelujah. And when we practice the presence of God, when we'll take time to get in his presence when we start our day, it's amazing how our day changes. All those little things that affect you in a negative way or kind of give you a little ding here and there, they'll just go off, roll off your back like water off a duck's back. Prayer is about God's presence. So prayer is the pathway to God's presence. And then we looked at number two, prayer is the pathway to a transforming relationship. God is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And prayer is one of the central avenues God uses to transform us. The Word of God and prayer. Hallelujah. And you know, a lot of people don't pray because they don't want to change. A lot of people don't pray because they don't want to change. Because when we pray, God will reveal areas in our lives that need to change. And praise God, then he'll set you free from it. Amen. Hallelujah. Prayer is a very freeing experience. Amen. You know, pastor is always praying. Prayer really is more caught than taught. The best way to learn how to pray is to pray with other people. I love to pray corporately with the body here at Calvary because you learn more how to pray that way. Iron sharpens iron. You know, pastors always, I'll hear pastor praying, God change me. God change me. He wants God to shine that light in there so God, so he can change and be conformed to the image of Christ. And that should be all of our goals, to be more Christ-like. Hallelujah. So if we have no real desire to change, we're not going to really have any desire to pray. Amen. Books on prayer are good. This is the best book on prayer. But books on prayer are good. Leonard Ravenhill has some powerful things to say about prayer. One of the things he said was, a praying man will quit sinning and a sinning man will quit praying. Amen. Hallelujah. But many believers think that prayer is something we do to get something from God. You know how you can tell? Go to any Christian bookstore and check out their books on prayer, and it's all about mechanics. If you need this, do this. They're all about mechanics, techniques, you know, what works, what doesn't work. As a result, our prayers tend to be a shopping list of things we want God to accomplish for us. But prayer, true prayer, is a radical, radical act. True prayer is a radical act. Prayer is designed to be relational, where we get in God's presence. It's not a shopping list every time. It draws us into God's presence, and it shows us how He would do things and how we need to change. Prayer does not move God to our agenda. It moves us to His agenda. So prayer is a radical act. So that was where we got to the other Wednesday night. So this is number two. Everything we need to do, we can achieve through prayer. Holy Spirit, just bring these truths to our, show these truths to us in a special way. God, I just thank you for changed lives tonight. Change me tonight, oh God. Change us. Show us. Show us your ways, oh God. I pray in Jesus' name. So from that, we're talking about a relationship with God. We're talking about how prayer brings us, is the pathway to a relationship, a relationship with God. And from that relationship, God calls us to accomplish things that we could never accomplish on our own. Never accomplish on our own. He'll show you things. I mean, one word of favor from God in prayer will take care of years of labor. I mean, just one word of favor. Just one word from God. You know, one word from God will change our life, will change your life. He can take us places when we pray and get in His presence. He will take us places we could have never gone without Him. Look what God's done. Look at Dr. Vaughn. I mean, He opens doors. Oh, God opens doors that no man can shut. He'll open doors. If He wants you in the heart of Africa, He'll open the door and He'll make a way for you to get there. Wherever it is, whether it's Africa or South America or Canada or Russia, He'll open doors. He'll have divine appointments for you and divine connections for you already set up. When we become totally dependent on God, He will transform us completely. Transform us completely. So prayer is not only the pathway to God's presence, prayer is the pathway that facilitates a transforming relationship with Him, with God. Number three, prayer is the pathway to God's power. Prayer is the pathway to God's power. The power of prayer. I'm telling you, it's accessible. The power of God is accessible through prayer. The power of God is accessible through prayer to those who will spend time in His presence. To me, one of the hardest things to do. Spend time in His presence. Just the question. Do you spend more time in his presence than you do on your cell phone? Just a question. Don't have to answer. Just asking. I ask myself that. I ask myself that especially since I got this cell phone now. And every month there's a little, or is it every, it's every week. And I got one either today or yesterday. And it says, you spent X hours and minutes on your cell phone screen. I went, Lord have mercy. I did. So it made me think how often, how many hours and minutes this week was I in God's presence versus how many hours and minutes was I on my cell phone that wasn't really necessary to be on my cell phone. It convicted me. So I'm making some changes. Less of that and more of this. Amen. The power of prayer is released when we pray. It's released when we pray to Jesus, to the one who invited us to pray. That's Jesus. Through the power of Jesus, prayer changes everything. Think of, let me give you some examples. 1 Kings 18, Elijah challenged 850 false prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Well, half of them were Baal and half somebody else. Anyway, after spending all day in prayer, they were cutting themselves and praying and shouting and doing all that stuff. Nothing. And then Elijah prayed a simple, however many second, direct prayer, and God immediately struck the altar with the fire of God. Immediately struck the altar. Hallelujah, with his fire. And it just sapped the water up, saturated the water. And there's a spiritual principle in that too. You know, it's the thing that they needed the most, water, they sacrificed to God. And what did God do? He brought an amazing deluge. The thing that they needed most is what they sacrificed to God. God, financially, God always talks to me about that. When I have a bigger need financially, God always talks to me about sowing a larger seed. He does. The bigger the need, the bigger the seed. How about the woman with that was going to not have, she was going to make a little cake and she and her son were going to die? And what did the man of God say? Make me a little cake first. There's not any left. If we give it to you, that's it. And then, man, there that became the revival center. I believe that whole part of the earth, all the people in that area knew that lady had food. The Bible says she had, it was like a year or 2 years, she had food more than enough because she gave what she needed most. How about Hannah? And Samuel, she prayed and said, God, if you will give me that baby boy, I will dedicate him. I will give him to you. Hallelujah. And then hundreds of years later, James writes about Elijah and says how his prayers produced incredible displays of God's power. But he said, Elijah was a man just like us. He was a person just like us. He had the same temptations just like we do, but he prayed. He prayed earnestly. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it didn't. And he prayed again, and then it did rain. James declared that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Well, guess what? If you're born again, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We all are that in this room, I believe, now. So our prayers make a difference. They're effective. They're powerful. Hallelujah. Amen. So the same awesome power that was available then is available now to us as believers today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Shubarabasa karabasa. All throughout the Bible, all throughout history, God answered the prayers of his people. But it's when believers did not pray, it's when believers did not pray that their enemies triumphed over them. Corrie Ten Boom wrote, I'm quoting Corrie Ten Boom, this is the second time now, a little bit. Corrie Ten Boom wrote, "Prayer is powerful, but when we make plans, the devil smiles." She said, "He laughs when we get busy, too busy to pray, but he trembles when we pray, especially when we pray together." A life of prayer is a life of unlimited potential, ladies and gentlemen. Prayer moves us from safe and comfortable and the same old, to a life of the miraculous. Hallelujah. Prayer is the difference between just, like I said, same old, doing things the way we've always done it, or doing things through the Holy Spirit of God, through God's strength, not our strength. Anything truly great is accomplished not by might nor by power, but by God's Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So when we cooperate with the Spirit, we can accomplish so, so much more. Hallelujah. Shibarobasa karabasa. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, Jesus is our example. Yeah, you can just go through the Bible. Jesus prayed. He prayed all the time. He prayed with his disciples when they could stay awake. He prayed alone. He would get up early in the morning and go out. He would go to solitary places and pray. He prayed all the time. He always got the Father's will, and then he went out and did that Father's will. He heard from the Father, and he went out and did it. Dr. Cho, I pray and I obey. And the more you pray, the more you will learn how to hear his voice. And the more you hear his voice, and then you just step out one time and do what you think you heard him say. And then it changes somebody's life. And you go, wow, that must have been God. He was talking to me. I'm going to do that again. I'm going to press in a little more. It's like getting a tenderloin steak and just having one bite. And you go, wow, that's pretty good. I wouldn't mind a little bit more of that. You know? Jesus was committed to prayer. Sometimes, the Bible says, sometimes Jesus spent full nights in prayer. Hallelujah. Jesus prayed at important times during his ministry, when he was choosing the 12, when he at the Transfiguration, when he was blessing little children, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. All the important times of Jesus' ministry were bathed in prayer. And knowing the importance of prayer, then Jesus instructed his disciples that they should always pray and not quit. King James says, pray and faint not. Always pray and don't quit. Always pray and don't quit. Hallelujah. And God hears us when we pray. Hebrews 5:7 says, Jesus offered up prayers and petitions, and God heard him. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you don't even know yet. Acts 10 talks about Cornelius, how he prayed and gave alms unto God. And it was so impactful that it came up for a memorial before God. And all of us Gentiles sitting in here tonight are a product of that prayer from Cornelius 2,000 years ago. The gospel, the glorious gospel, came to the Gentiles through that prayer. Through his prayers. Hallelujah. But ladies and gentlemen, to be effective prayers, we must abide in him. John 15:7 says this. If you, this is Jesus speaking, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Wow. Jesus said, whatsoever you ask, or whatever you ask, it will be done or given unto you. That's an incredible promise. Did you hear what he said? Whatever you ask, I'll do it. But it's conditional. It's conditional. The condition is if we abide in Jesus and his words abide in us. Listen to what abide means. It means to stay. It means to continue. It means to dwell. It means to remain. It means to not depart from him. It means to remain as one. In other words, Jesus was saying that prayer must flow out of a relationship with him. So according to Jesus, to be effective in prayer, to be an effective prayer, you must abide in him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Another way to be an effective prayer, Jesus said, was to ask in his name. John 14, verses 12 through 14. Verily, verily, now this is Jesus talking again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Wow. To pray in Jesus' name, I liken it to this, is to ask what Jesus would ask for. It is to use his name, yes. He gave us that name. He gave us the right, the authority, the power of attorney to use that name, to command things, to believe God. But it's like you ask what Jesus would ask for. It brings glory to the Father. Hallelujah. Okay, so what about the church? What about the church? The early New Testament church, prayer was common. It's what they did. It was common. They didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John when they were in the book of Acts. They weren't written yet. They prayed. I mean, they had the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They had the prophet, the law and the prophets, but they didn't have the New Testament. They prayed. Throughout the early New Testament church, the church prayed. Leaders and members alike, they all prayed. Corporate prayer was common. Coming together and praying. That's why they saw so many miracles. That's why corporate prayer is so powerful, because when we target our prayers together, miracles happen. Miracles happen. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. They all join together constantly, all the time, in prayer. Daily in the temple, the Bible says. They cease not. They devoted themselves, Acts 2:42, to prayer. Corporate prayer and personal prayer. Peter and John on the way to the temple at 3 o'clock, the hour of prayer. In other words, their normal routine. They were going to church to pray. They all prayed, individually and together. Cornelius obviously prayed. He prayed all the time. Peter, sitting on the housetop of Simon the Tanner, praying in a trance. Man, everybody was praying and miracles were happening. The angel comes to Cornelius. Your alms and your prayers have come up for a memorial before God. So go tell this Peter guy and tell him to come and speak words unto you. And so he sends his household servant to go get Peter, and they find him on the housetop of Simon the Tanner, and what's he doing? He's praying. They were praying. He was praying. I mean, you know, and you talk about a revival. Hallelujah. Hundreds of millions of people coming into the kingdom through those prayers. That's where the miracles are. Prayer based on the word of God. They consistently prayed. They made a commitment to pray. They prayed individually. They prayed corporately. They prayed in the morning. They prayed in the afternoon. They prayed all the time. They ceased not to pray. So the early church, prayer was common in the early church. Let me give you another one about the early church. Prayer in the early church was the vehicle by which the Holy Spirit was poured out. Matter of fact, it was when the New Testament church was founded. Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem, tarry, to pray, and not leave until you be endued with power. That's how important it was to Jesus. He told them, don't do anything until you prayed and you received the Holy Ghost. So the disciples waited, and they all joined together. And think about who was in the upper room. Everybody was in the upper room. The ladies were in the upper room. The apostles were in the upper room, other than Judas Iscariot. Members of Jesus' family was in the upper room. Prayer, the Holy Spirit's for everyone, ladies and gentlemen. The Holy Spirit is for everyone. And in that atmosphere of prayer, that was the initial outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah. And then later on, they were praying and the place was shaken. Hallelujah. Where they were assembled together. And the church of Jerusalem sent Peter and John to believers in Samaria. And they prayed for them. They prayed that they might receive the Holy Spirit. And they laid their hands on them and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Paul was praying when he was baptized in the Spirit. After the day of Pentecost, the church was exploding. Hallelujah. But everything they did was bathed in prayer. So prayer was the vehicle by which the Holy Spirit was poured out, and prayer was the vehicle for signs and wonders and miracles. Prayer was the vehicle in the New Testament church, the early New Testament church, for signs, wonders, and miracles. Ladies and gentlemen, it hadn't changed. It's the same way today. You know, our churches, we don't see, you know, most churches, maybe y'all do, but I don't hear a lot about signs, wonders, and miracles in a lot of churches. But I don't hear about a lot of churches that put a priority on prayer, that really pray. You know, some people call a prayer meeting and all they do is, you know, they do, I don't know what they do. I'm not there. I'm here. Hallelujah. But I know we pray. I said, we pray. She cut it up by side. We pray. Hallelujah. Prayer was the vehicle for signs, wonders, and miracles in the early New Testament church. Hallelujah. Acts 2:43. Many signs and wonders were done by the apostles. Hallelujah, because they prayed. Hallelujah. Peter prayed and God raised Tabitha from the dead. Acts 9, verse 40. The church prayed without ceasing for Peter, and he was delivered from prison. Hey, we've been praying without ceasing for our pastor, and we've seen what God's doing with our pastor. He's raising him up. He's bringing him all the way out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Peter and John amazed the Sanhedrin with their boldness and courage. Remember when they were called to give an account of these miracles and their preaching, and they said, y'all are unlearned and ignorant men because you haven't been to Bible college and you haven't done this and you haven't done that. But they took note that they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. Prayer is the main component to do the work of Jesus. The best thing we have to offer the world is not our communication skills and not our books on all this stuff that we have all these books on. And I'm okay with books and I'm okay with diplomas. I've got business degree and I've got other things, you know. I'm okay with that. And Lori has several. But But ladies and gentlemen, we need the power of God to shake our nation. And we've got to pray. And there is a way when you pray. I've heard our pastor say there's a way when we pray. We will see more when we pray more. Hallelujah. You know, Smith Wigglesworth didn't even read any other books other than this book. This is all it. Once he got born again, remember how he was 40s or 50s when he got born again? How old was he? And all he read the rest of his life was this. Didn't read the newspaper, didn't read all that other. He just read the Bible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dwight L. Moody said he would rather learn how to pray than to preach. You notice the disciples, they didn't ask Jesus how to preach. They said, teach us to pray, Jesus, because they saw that when Jesus prayed, they saw all the miracles that he did. They knew it was attached to prayer. That's why they said, teach us to pray. Hallelujah. The disciples wanted to operate in the power of the Holy Ghost. You do that through prayer. Hallelujah. Acts 4:29, they prayed for boldness to speak the word of God. Hallelujah. They prayed that God would heal and perform signs and wonders in the name of thy holy child Jesus, Acts 4:30. When was the last time we prayed for boldness to speak the word, for healing and for signs and wonders and miracles? When's the last time you prayed for God to do signs, wonders, and miracles in your midst? I'm preaching to myself now. I'm preaching to myself, but I'm just saying we need to ask God. We need to ask God for signs, wonders, and miracles. God, send your fire. Send signs, wonders, and miracles. God, notable miracles that cannot be refuted in the name of Jesus. That's how they did it. That's how they did it. They prayed for it. They asked God for it. Sometimes I think we fail to see the miraculous because we fail to ask God for the miraculous. Stretch your faith. I'm stretching mine. I'm asking God for bigger things, for more things. Hallelujah. So prayer was the vehicle for signs, wonders, and miracles. Prayer was the vehicle for divine guidance in the early New Testament church. It should be the same way today. Philip, man, he preached Christ to the whole city, it says, took heed to the words that Philip spoke. And then God just, boom, go down to one person that's going out in that desert in this caravan. Go to that one person and witness to him. From a whole citywide crusade where the whole city took heed to one person. Wow. Hallelujah. Divine guidance. You get divine guidance in prayer. Remember all the times in the book of Acts how Paul's travel plans would change? Remember how it says the Spirit bade him go and then the Spirit forbade him to go here or do that? You know, one time in Acts 16, Paul was stepping out, he and his companions, and the Spirit would shut the door on him. So they turned to Troas, and that's where he had the Macedonian vision, and the man urged him to come there. So off they went to Macedonia. But in Troas is where they met Luke. Now think about it. If they had gone the other way, they wouldn't have met up with Luke. And Luke sat under Paul and learn from Paul, because Luke did not walk with Jesus. Luke sat under Paul and learned and studied, and Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. God has a plan. He received divine guidance as he prayed. You know, just because God shuts a door, that doesn't mean that's the end of it. God has a plan. If you'll pray, God is rearranging the furniture. He's putting everything in order in your life. Just go with God. Just stay in communion with God. Pray. Stay in the Word and pray and watch God do what no other power can do. God knows best. Hallelujah. And that's the same way he leads today. You know the story about Tommy Hicks, how Pastor talks about that evangelist that went to, it is Tommy Hicks, isn't it, that went to Argentina. God told him to go down there, but he couldn't get permission to hold his crusade, so he told him to go to the office of the president, and he went in there, and he sat for hours and all day, and he couldn't get into the president. And some guy walked across in front of him and slipped and fell and broke his wrist. And Tommy prayed for him and he was healed. And the guy went into the president's office and said, "Man, this guy's out here and I broke my wrist and I'm healed." And he brought him in there. And the president, Juan Perón, he had something wrong with him. He prayed for him and he was healed. So the president said, "You preach anywhere you want to in Argentina." Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God, nothing is impossible with our God. We serve a great God. And here's another thing that prayer did in the New Testament church. Prayer was the church's response to persecution and opposition. The early New Testament church had a tremendous amount of persecution. But their response was what? It was prayer. They were threatened. Hallelujah. Remember when Peter and John were threatened and they were released and they went back to the believers and they heard the report and they lifted up their voices unto God and they didn't pray, "God, protect us, God, you know, cover us, God, move us somewhere else." No, they said, "Now, Lord, listen to what they're saying about us. Grant unto us that with all boldness we may speak your word." They desired boldness. They prayed for boldness. They didn't ask for protection. They asked for power. Hallelujah. They didn't pray for deliverance. They prayed for boldness. Shibarabasa karabasa. Ibarabasa karabasa. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Come on, let's all stand up. Let's come down here. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's lift up our voices unto God and pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Everything we need to do, we can achieve through prayer. Everybody just come on down to this front area and let's spend a couple of minutes in prayer. Hallelujah to Jesus. Everything we need to do, we can achieve through prayer. Hallelujah. Everything we need to do, we can achieve through prayer. In the name of Jesus.